It's almost church time. We're getting ready here. Give a minute or so for people to start jumping on. Chloe's going to come and sing for us in just a minute. Hope everybody has had a good week. We must be getting used to this because it seems like this past week has just flown by. And more so than the previous weeks, which just sort of drug on and drug on and drug on. But it seems like we've just had service. But then on the other hand, I woke up one morning this week and I was laying there before I got out of the bed and I thought, what day is it? I have no idea what day it is, what I'm supposed to do, where I'm, and I had to think back, okay, when's the last time we had church or Bible study? And from there, I figured out what day it was. So maybe your days are a little weird. All of us are going through different things and handling it the best we can, but it is good to be on Facebook Live this morning. I never thought I would ever say that, but here we are back once again. Let's do remember to pray one for another, our church family, other churches, pastors, people that are sick, people that are going through hard times. Let's do remember one another in our prayers. It is 10 o'clock, so we'll go ahead and officially get started here this morning. Let me just say by way of announcement that I have been keeping up, paying attention to what the governor has been saying, the government has been saying about, opening things back up. And as far as North Carolina is concerned, the governor said May the 8th they were going to, they've extended this shelter in place, quarantine until May the 8th. Now that's a Friday. So I'm planning and thinking May the 10th in some way, form, or fashion to be back physically at church. We will evaluate as the days go by, but we really need to be praying about that, thinking about that, what the Lord would have us to do. I think before Chloe comes and sings this morning, we'll go ahead and have prayer. And let's, like I said, remember to pray one for another and pray for our nation, pray for our leaders that they would have wisdom as they deal with this time and this thing that's going on. And I also want to mention the different ways you can get messages. There's Podbean. Mount Lebanon Baptist Church has a podcast as well. All the sermons are on there, and I really appreciate Julie Hayes and the hard work she's put in to make this happen. Also, the church website, mountlebanonbc.org, has messages and radio broadcasts from 10 years, going back 10 years, I think. So there's a lot of content on there as well. And then I've started a new podcast. It's called Blessings of Liberty. If you go to podbean.com, download that app to your phone, search Blessings of Liberty, it will come up. And I've already got 2 weeks worth of podcast on there, and it comes out. Dealing with Psalms chapter number 23. And I've heard a lot of comments back that that's been a blessing as well. So that's not a radio broadcast, it's a podcast. And I'm enjoying doing it. That's filling up a lot of my time. In fact, it's a lot of work. So I would appreciate your prayers as we try to get that started. And Lord willing, I would like to just continue on with that in the future. So let's pray. And then Chloe's going to come and sing. Father, we come today thanking you, praising you for all the many blessings you've given to us. And Lord, as we come today, there's many objects of prayer, many things to think about. We especially want to hold up our nation, those who are sick with the COVID virus, those who are sick with other things. Lord, what a hard time to be sick. And Lord, there's people that have cancer and people in hospice care and people that have, car accidents and, just anything going on extra. My, what a trial, what a burden it is. But we pray for each and every one, those we know, those we do not. We pray for our leaders to have wisdom. We pray for our healthcare workers, those that are out there working every day. We pray for those that are out of work, those who are trying to deal with this the very best that they can. And Lord, dealing with unemployment and dealing with life being so different than we're used to. Please give us grace. I know you will and you have, and help us to have wisdom. Lord, be in this service today, the preaching of thy word. Be with Chloe as she comes and sings, and help us as your people that we would look to you in everything and every aspect of our lives. Lord, we need your help. We need the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and we pray to be led by you in our lives. Lord, have your way. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, Chloe, you come on. And by the way, we usually do this at church. We mention the birthdays, and when we go back, we're going to have to take a half an hour to mention all the birthdays and anniversaries that have gone on. But Chloe had a birthday this week, so this first time she's singing at her new age. So, Chloe, you come on. Sing this morning.
I want my life a light to be. I want the world this light to see, to light the show the way. I want to be a soul winner for Christ each day. I want my life God's love to show. I want the world my Lord to know, that they might hear and also say, I want to be a soul winner for Christ each day.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Chloe. I appreciate that. All right, adjusting for height, and I appreciate Chloe singing and trying to pick something out every week, trying to be a blessing and a help where she can. I want to say to the church, tonight would have been the start of our spring revival. We had mentioned this several month and a half ago, something like that. We were going to have revival starting tonight through next Friday night. And, you know, I've prayed about this, thought about this, you know, what could we do, should we do? And I just did not feel the Lord leading to try to, you know, have it online or something like that. Let's just continue to pray, and we will see how the Lord leads in the future. And I promise you this, the Lord will lead in the future. We may not have known what was going to happen, this would be happening, but I promise you the Lord knew all about it, and he is not surprised, and he has great things in store. Let's be much in prayer as God's people that he would give us revival in this day and time. Now, I have put the title to the message up on the screen. I suppose you're able to see that, and where we are reading from, 1 Kings chapter number 8. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter number 8, and I really want you to read along. I'm going to be looking at several verses this morning I want to point out from chapter number 8, not just the scripture that we're going to be reading, but turn in your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter number 8. I always say this, it's not important what I say, it's important what God's Word says, and the Word of God continually amazes me. If we really seek the answers to our questions, you will find it in God's Word. I promise you that. And today, what we're going to look at, very, very up-to-date, very applicable to our lives, what is going on right now in America and around the world. So we're preaching on prayer in times of crisis. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 37. The Bible said, if there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locusts, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. And so this passage of scripture we're going to be looking at today, especially, it's interesting what verse 37 and verse 38 says. Verse number 37, if there be in the land famine, pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, caterpillar, and it says, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities. Now, what is going on in chapter number 8 is Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. So, in the history of the nation of Israel, first they worshipped in the tabernacle in the wilderness. This was made of cloth. And this was a tabernacle or a tent, it was called, and they would put it up and take it down. And wherever they traveled, they would take it with them. But when God settled them in the land of Israel and Jerusalem became the capital, they built a temple. David wanted to build the temple, but he was a man of war. And so God would not let him do that, but God allowed Solomon to build the temple. And this is at the dedication of the temple, brand new building. And they're getting ready to dedicate that temple to the Lord. Now, we're going to read several verses. If you go back to chapter 8, verse number 1, look what the Bible says over there. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And so they're going to dedicate the temple. They're going to take the furniture that was in the tabernacle. And the first thing they're going to do, they're going to bring that Ark and they're going to put it from the tabernacle into the temple. That's what is happening in chapter number 8. Now, it was a great day, and there was a lot that took place on this day. Let me point out some of the things that happened on the day they dedicated the temple. Number one, there was worship took place. They bring the Ark, they place it in the temple. This is the very first time the Ark of the Covenant has been placed in the new tabernacle. And the Bible says in chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. The cloud was the presence of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Now you talk about worship. They went to church, we might say. They go to the tabernacle. They're dedicating the tabernacle. They bring the Ark of the Covenant in, and the glory of the Lord is so thick in that place that the priest could not stand to minister because the glory of the Lord. Now, those of you that have been in church, you have been where God is truly being worshiped in spirit and in truth, and God manifest His presence in a special way. You'll never forget that. That'll change your life forever. This was not normal. This was what happened on this day. They especially worship the Lord. And I believe probably about the first time we all get back in church together, I'm looking for the Lord to meet with us in a special way. I mean, I can just think about it, and it just thrills my heart. I mean, I miss that. If you're God's people, you miss meeting together with each other, but especially there's just something special about us coming together and worshiping the Lord. And so they worshiped the Lord together. There was a message, chapter number 12 through, or verse number 12 through verse number 21. I'm just going to read verse number 12. It said, "Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness." And so Solomon, King Solomon, gave the message on that day. So they worshiped. There was a message by God's man from God's word. There was prayer. That's what we're reading from in verse number 37. But this is quite a long prayer. In fact, the prayer is longer than the message was. But if you look in verse number 22 and 23, it said, "And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there's no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart." And so we find that there was a prayer offered up on this day. Then after the prayer, there was what we would call a blessing or a benediction. If you look in verse number 54, I mean, there the message is done, the prayer's been prayed, and it said in verse 54, "And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord." So we're getting down towards the end, but there's one more thing. There was an offering. There was sacrifice made. If you look at verse 63, "And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto the Lord." So what did they do when they met together? Well, they worshiped the Lord. There was a message. There was a prayer. There was a blessing or a benediction. There was an offering that was made. And so these elements of worship we find, and we have these same things in our churches today. We ought to have these things in our churches today. So they had all that when they came together to worship the Lord. Now Solomon is David's son. He's the king of Israel. He's the king over a vast, wealthy empire. Solomon's kingdom was full of wealth. You talk about the economy doing well. The economy did off the chart when Solomon was the king. He was the king over a very wealthy, very well-off, very powerful nation. He was a godly man. He was full of wisdom. In fact, if you go back to chapter 3, verse 28, it says about the people, "For they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment." Solomon was a wise man. In fact, the wisest man upon the face of the earth. Now, the message we're going to look from today actually comes from Solomon's prayer. And we're going to break this down. I'm going to give you three things from Solomon's prayer about prayer in times of crisis, prayer in times of crisis. Now, first of all, there's national problems. National problems are mentioned in verse number 37, look what the Bible says. "If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be." Now Solomon from the very beginning, now he is the king of Israel and he's been the king of Israel long enough, and this would take several years for this to take place, but he's been the king of Israel. He acknowledges from the very beginning the hand of God in the life of the nation. You know, Solomon has not just come to know the Lord. He's known the Lord and about the Lord since he was a little child. He's raised by godly King David. He knows about the Lord. He acknowledges the hand of God in the life of the nation. He acknowledges that they serve the one true God, and there is no God like the God that they served. That's what he said in verse number 23. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation and spread forth his hands. Verse 23, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee. Now Solomon believed in the one true living God. They served him. They tried to honor him in the life of the nation. But he also acknowledges that problems will come. And he prays and he mentions these problems in his prayer in verse number 37. Now, we are being naive as God's people if we think we're not going to have problems. And there's a lot of people, they think, oh, you know, I don't have problems. What is going on? And my battery life on my phone is showing that I've got problems. Let me pause right there just a moment. If I would actually plug my phone into the wall, I wouldn't be having problems with a low battery. But David acknowledges that they're going to have problems. And we, as God's people, guess what? We are going to have problems in our lives personally. We're going to have problems as a nation. Yes, we know the Lord. He is in control. There's no God like Him. But there's nothing that says that if you're a child of God, you're not going to have problems. Solomon is wise, and Solomon recognizes and acknowledges that they are going to have problems. Now, when these problems come, and he mentions seven national problems in verse number 37. I want to quickly mention them. And let me say, in America, we have had all of these problems at some point in our nation's history. And from the very beginning of our nation's history, we've acknowledged the God of the Bible. We've tried to serve. I'm talking about in general. You know, we've never been a Hindu nation. We've never been a Buddhist nation. From the very beginning of our nation, we've acknowledged the God of the Bible, Jehovah God. But guess what? We've had problems. And we're having problems, and we will have problems in the future. But he mentioned seven problems. He said in verse 37, if there be famine. Now, what is famine? Famine is hunger. It's hunger because of the weather and the crops don't grow. Famine, starving. He said, if there be famine, if there be pestilence. And on down, this pestilence is called the plague. A plague is a pestilence. It's the same thing. A pestilence is just simply this, an infectious disease. He said, if we have among our people an infectious disease, blasting is this, it is a plant disease. So the crops are dying because of some disease. He mentions mildew. Mildew is plants dying from drought. That's what mildew is, if you look it up and study about it. Locusts, we've all probably heard about a plague of locusts. And a plague of locusts would be what we know as a cricket. You know, we like to hear the crickets in the summertime, but a plague could destroy everything. And then he mentions the caterpillar. The caterpillar is interesting to me because I have saw this with my own eyes. Now, the caterpillar means this, the ravager. And back last fall, just outside of the wall you see behind me in the yard, we had a tree. We called it the bean tree. And I don't know what kind of tree it was, but it had these long sprouts on it, probably about 12, 14 inches long, all over. It had big leaves about the size of your face and these sprouts, these big long sprouts, and it's been in the yard for many, many, many years. And we were working on the house and we come in one day and I begin to notice in the grass this funny, you know, something is happening in the tree. And I looked up and the tree was full, I mean full of caterpillars. And they were eating the leaves off of this tree. And that was their droppings from all that they're eating. And I mean, it was covering the yard up. Well, a couple of days, and do you know, this huge mature tree with these large leaves on it, these caterpillars had to eat every leaf on that tree except for one branch. Why they didn't go over there, I don't know. But they had basically ravaged the whole tree. I didn't see it in any other trees or any, just that tree. Well, the tree's gone. We cut it down. It was leaning over on the roof, and I'm glad it is gone, especially after I saw that. Man, I don't know, but if you had a plague of those, wouldn't take long. Destroy everything in the crops, the community, everything. The ravager. Then he mentions, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities. Enemy is war, terrorism, all these things, national problems. Listen, nations, all nations have problems. We should not be surprised when problems come. The question is, how are we going to handle these problems? How are we going to react to these problems? Now that brings me to the second thing. National problems, fact of life, is going to happen. But then he talks about, in verse 37, there is individual perceptions. And this is what I really want to try to bring out today, because this affects all of us. Individual perceptions of national problems. Look what he says in verse 37, the very last part. He mentions these seven problems that can come in a nation. But he says, whatsoever plague, whatever pestilence, whatever sickness, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, whatever it is, he said in verse 38, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, that's individuals, or by all thy people Israel. Now look what it says. Which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. Isn't that interesting? Which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spread forth his hands toward the house. What plague? Whatsoever plague? Whatsoever sickness? And he talks about every man knowing the plague of his own heart. The plague, the sickness to one person versus another person, how one person views it and how another person views it is not going to be the same. One person is going to look at it differently than the other person does. Every man knows the plague of his own heart. Every person looks at what is going on in our nation today, in our world today. Every person looks at this differently. Now, I want to give you some things about that. Each heart looks at things differently, but it goes on to say in the parentheses in verse 39, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. Now, we all look at things differently. We all look at these problems differently, and God knows all of our hearts. This is important for us to understand. Let me give you three ways today that people look at things differently, especially this plague, this sickness that is up on us today, talking about the COVID-19, the virus that's got our whole nation shut down. Number one, some people look at this as sinister. That's the first thing. Some people look at this as being sinister. What do you mean by that, preacher? What's the first thing you heard from some people? This is the devil. The devil has done this. The devil this and the devil done that. Sinister, evil, wicked. Some people look at this and say the devil's done it. Some people look at this and say this is an attack from our enemy, China. This is biological warfare being waged on our nation. It's all on purpose. Our enemy has got, and it's been called this, the invisible enemy. And where is it most of all? In our cities. The Bible talks about that in verse number 7. The enemy besieged them in the land of their cities. This is an attack from a communist enemy. There's names being thrown out. George Soros is behind this. Bill Gates is behind this. And just trying to get everybody to take a vaccine or the mark of the beast or to get rid of money because it's dirty and bring in a one world government and a one world economy, and all of these sinister things are being thrown out there as to why this is going on. And let me say about that. Now, I don't want you to cut me off today. I want you to hear what I've got to say. What about that? Well, let me say this. Sinister things are always going on. and have always gone on. There's always the element of sinister evil going on. The devil takes no holidays. You know, there's no day where the devil says, you know, I'm just taking the week off. Leave the human race alone. Give them a break. No way. Sinister things, evil things, satanic things are always going on. The devil never takes a day off. There are people who are opportunists. You know, I have read that more fortunes were made during the Great Depression than at any other time because people took advantage of what was going on. There are always people that are looking to take an opportunity and make gain out of it from other people's problems. So there are people that will take this and they're looking for a financial opportunity. There are people that will take this and they're looking for a political opportunity. They're looking to push their particular agenda. There are people that will take this and they are looking for a social opportunity. There are people that will take this and, you know, spiritual hucksters that are, they'll try to gain a following spiritually speaking. They'll prey on people and their fear and their weakness and all of these things. So those things always go on. There are always people, they've got their little antenna going up. And they're looking and thinking about, you know, how can I gain out of this? How can I get something out of this? How can I get what I want out of this? How can I promote my agenda out of this? That always happens. I don't care what goes on. If it's a hurricane, if it's a financial, the market goes up, the market goes down, if it's a sickness, whatever it is, there's always those people. If you don't believe me, just take a month or a couple of months and read the book of Proverbs. And every time you see the word sinner, and every time you see the word evil man, notice what they are doing. They're always trying to take advantage of somebody else and promote their evil agenda. For example, Proverbs chapter 1 verse 16 says, "For their feet run to evil. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Proverbs chapter number 1. Come on, come with us, come with us. We're going to take advantage of people. The sinister is always a real element that is going on. So how do we perceive the problems that are going on? Well, some people say this is sinister. This is a conspiracy. This is the devil. This is the government. Another way people look at problems, some people look at this as being silly. Being silly. How many times have you heard people talk about the virus and the shutdown and staying in and all of these things? And I've heard this and I have said this myself. This is crazy. You talk with people, have conversations. These are crazy times. Look at all these things that are going on around us. This is overkill. There's no reason for shutting down jobs and shutting down society the way that it is being done. I mean, it's crazy. Schools, sporting events, churches, all of these things. Now, do you know there's 6 states that have not had a shutdown? And they're doing better than most of the ones that do have a shutdown, a lockdown going on. Oklahoma, South Dakota, Utah, I can't remember all of them, but there's some states that have not shut everything down. And they said, you know, we're going on the offensive to this thing and we're doing better. And so that makes you look and say, well, this is crazy. It's crazy. Can you imagine? And I've mentioned this many times, the things that are going on. I mean, walking trails, the Blue Ridge Parkway, the Virginia Creeper Trail. I mean, you can't even go out there and ride a bicycle. And I keep coming across everything I'm reading, it says that people are violating. Now, when you violate something, that's like violating social distancing. You know, I saw a picture and it had a store and they had tape on the floor and it was 6 feet away from the cash register. You know, you come back 6 feet, so the person is over there in my front, I'm supposed to stay, but they were 2 feet apart and it said it's a good thing the virus doesn't travel sideways. There's a lot of silly things. There's a lot of crazy things that are going on. I mean, we went to town the other night, Friday night, and we thought, well, we'll get takeout. You know, we want to try to support local businesses as much as we can. And so we picked out a restaurant we've been to many, many times before. And we're sitting there in the parking lot. And I can see inside the restaurant. And there's chairs. And, you know, we like the atmosphere. And we go in there and all like that. And, you know, and it says on the door, stop. Do not come in here. But there's a store two doors down, sort of like a dollar store type thing, and people are coming out of in and out of there like crazy. That's crazy. That's silly. I couldn't help but think as we waited and waited and waited for our food, and we're sitting in the car, and then we go into the parking lot and sit and eat in our car the food, which we had gotten. Silly, crazy. There's crazy times, crazy things that are going on. Now, I mean, let's be careful and let's be aware and all of those things. I'm not saying that, but at some point we've got to live our lives. Life must go on. And at some point we will have to decide. We'll have to decide. Here's how the government is. Once the government gets control and power, they don't want to give it back. And so here's what I think we as God's people and people need to start thinking about. When are we going to say, you know, that's enough. We got to get back to living our lives. The government is like a spoiled child at another child's birthday party. You ever been to a little kid's birthday party and the child whose birthday it is, they open their gifts, but there's always that one that thinks, hey, that's for me, and that kid grabs the other kid's stuff and won't give it back. That's how the government is. The government will grab everything you've got, your freedom, your liberty, your money, everything, and boy, if it gets a hold of it, it does not want to give it back. It has to be made to give it back. Now, that's a message for another day, but that's just a little bit. Some of this is silly. But then number three, other people perceive this as very, very serious. Now, I can say a lot of these things are silly, but I don't know anybody that's got this virus. And as far as I know, nobody's even been admitted to our hospital with this virus. There's a few cases in the county, but they've all got it from traveling other places. But now, if I had the virus today, I'd tell you, buddy, this is serious. If my mother, my father, if somebody in my family was very sick and dying, and I know that there has been people that are sick and there has been people that have died because of this thing, there's people that have lost their health, there's people that have lost somebody in their family, there are people that will lose financially big time because of this virus that is going on. So for many people, this is the most serious thing that is going on in their lives right now and ever has gone on in their lives. And so it's very, very serious. And let me say, this will change our lives. And I believe that what is going on in our country right now will change our lives for a long time. It is a serious thing. You know, is it the judgment of God? Listen, that's a serious thing. Is it a plague that will go on and on and on and just keep coming back and that we'll never get rid of it? That's a very serious thing. So there's a lot of serious things. Now, I'm not saying all these things to divide us. You know, some people might say, now I agree with what he said to begin with. You know, this is the devil. This is China. Well, I agree that this is all silly. Well, somebody else is sick. Somebody else is suffering. They say, this is serious. You need to not say it's silly. You need to say that it's serious. But listen, we will never agree. Each individual heart looks at things differently. We see that in the Bible. Solomon, who had much wisdom, he said, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. We're all going to look at this thing in a different way. I'm not saying those things to divide us, but that ought to unite us. Because listen, it doesn't matter what you think of it. It's still affecting your life and my life today. It doesn't matter how you view it. The Bible says there in verse number 38, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man. However you pray about this thing, that is not what, however you view it in your own limited personal way of looking at it, that's not what is important. How you view it, or what you think is the reason, or who you think needs to be blamed for it, that doesn't matter, because we're all affected by it. Here is the one thing that matters, and here's what I'm getting to. Number three, there is a universal prescription. So there's national problems, there's individual perceptions, how you look at it, but there's a universal prescription. This applies, it doesn't matter how you look at it. What is the universal prescription? The universal prescription is prayer. And that is what Solomon is talking about. He said in verse 38, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, that is an individual prayer. Then he says, or by all thy people Israel. That's by the whole nation. Whatsoever prayer they pray. He said, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house. That's prayer. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. When they come and pray, listen to them pray. Answer their prayers. Let me quickly give you what we find in these verses when we're talking about a universal prescription. What are we going to do about this? I'll tell you, about all we can do is pray about it right now. And that's what they do. There's prayer in verse 38. What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man. You say, preacher, I'm new to this. I don't really know if I know how to pray. Well, you might say, I've not been in a habit of prayer. I don't feel like my prayer life is what it should be. Well, let me say, when you are only praying on sunny days, it's hard to learn to pray. But you get in the middle of the storm, you'll find out that you can learn to pray really quickly. When things get serious in your life, when you are down at the intensive care unit and it is your child that is in there and you don't know if they're going to live or they're going to die, let me tell you, you will enter into the crash course of prayer. You'll find out you can pray when times are tough. And it wouldn't take much. We think times are tough now. This might be the vacation before the storm. Now, I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm not trying to scare people. Look around at what's happening. This is serious stuff. People wearing masks. I remember when I was in the United States Air Force and Desert Storm broke out. It didn't amount to much. I mean, I think within 6 months, the whole thing was over. But when it broke out, when we attacked Iraq and Saddam Hussein, and the whole thing was on television, we had never seen that as a nation before. And I had been in England for 3 years and had just, I mean, I was in the middle of rotating back to the United States when it all broke out. And I remember sitting and watching it on TV, watching us bomb Iraq. I'm telling you, that was a serious time. And churches, God's people, got serious. The churches in our area stayed open 24 hours a day, doors unlocked. I don't know if all of them did, but the one I grew up in, Brushy Fork Baptist Church, they unlocked the doors. They said, come pray anytime. So I'm in the United States Air Force. I'm home. For 30 days, I'd been in England for 3 years, hadn't been home. Desert Storm is starting. We're going to war. We don't know what's going to happen. My grandfather Greer and I think my dad, we go up to the church. The doors are open. We go in. Now, my grandpa Greer, he's not a praying man. I grew up around him. I don't remember him praying very much, if at all. We go to the church. He wanted to go. We go in the doors. It's quiet. It's dark in there. We go down to the altar. We get down. I've never seen him go to the altar before. Now, he's gone. He passed away many years ago. But we go into the church. We get down. And I heard him pray. And I've never heard him pray. I've never heard him pray like that. But you know what? He had been in World War II. And now I'm his grandson. We don't know. But he knew. He'd been in war. He'd saw death. He'd saw dying. He'd saw how horrible it was. I'm telling you, he prayed. Say, preacher, I don't know how to pray. Well, you've not been in trouble yet. I'm telling you, when we get in trouble, we're going to know how to pray. And Solomon said, when these problems come and they begin to pray, that's where we got to get. See, I really think if everything just went right back to normal tomorrow, that is what we would do. We've not got to the place where we see how much trouble we're in and we see how we need to pray. There was prayer. There's humility. Here's some things we need. There's humility in verse number 38. The Bible said in the last part, and spread forth his hands toward this house. And if you look over in verse number 54 real quick, look what the Bible says. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Here's the king of the whole nation. There'd never been a king that had the glory that King Solomon and the power that he had. And here we find the king down on his knees, down on his face with his hands spread out. That's how he prayed this prayer. He prayed, this powerful man prayed this prayer in humility. And we're really missing that. Being humble before the Lord. You say, preacher, you really think I need to get down on my knees? Let me tell you, it wouldn't hurt you any. It wouldn't hurt us as a nation to get real humble before God about this thing. And spread out our hearts and spread out our hands. Because God hears the prayer of the humble. He does not hear the prayer of the proud. There was humility. I like this. There's forgiveness in verse 39. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and forgive. And that is mentioned all down through. If you read chapter number 8, I can't even see all of it, but in verse number 30 it says, and forgive. And it goes on down. And when they've sinned, forgive them, forgive them. Do we need to be forgiven? We sure do. This is a nation, I'm talking about our nation, that murders millions of babies every year through abortion. Now that's all right. We need forgiveness of our sins as a nation, as our sins as a people, individuals, families, people who are lost need forgiveness. I mean, yeah, there's a need for forgiveness. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Yeah, we've sinned against the Lord for years and years and years. I'm talking about church people. I'm talking about Christian people. If we would get honest and humble before the Lord and come and say, Lord, we've sinned. And then there's divine action in verse 39. The Bible said, then hear thou in heaven. Thy dwelling place and forgive and do. Do. God has got to do it. Now, I like President Trump, and some of you may not like that I say that, but I pray for him. I like he's not a politician. And, you know, if all the politicians hate him so bad, there's got to be something good about him because the politicians are our problem. And they hate him so much. There's got to be something good. But I hear him talk about, you know, I'm going to rebuild the economy. I did it the first time and I'll do it the second time. No, you can't. If any good thing is done in our nation, God will have to do it. We need to look to Him. If God uses a person, that's wonderful and that's great. But He can't do it, not alone. He can't make this virus go away. He can't change the whole world, etc., etc., etc. God's got to be the one to do. And it said in verse number 39 that He will forgive and do. He can heal our land. There has to be divine action. The politicians can't do it. They don't have the answer. The government can't do it. I've said this many, many times down through the years. The government could not solve a one-piece puzzle. You say, preacher, you're being hard on the government today. Let me tell you, the government gets opportunity, it'll be hard on you. Be hard on me. We better be very vigilant about what's going on. God has got to heal our land. God has got to help us. And then last of all, there's divine respect. Look at verse number 40. That they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. I've got that underlined. Our fathers. Our fathers, our heritage had more wisdom than we have. And God gave us some things. We don't need to waste those things. Look what it said, that they may fear thee all the days. We need to get back in this nation where we fear the Lord again. We used to fear the Lord. Used to, you know, it wasn't all right to take God's name in vain. Used to be it wasn't all right to do certain things on Sunday. Well, all that's out the door. Just do whatever, you know. We don't fear the Lord. We don't fear the Lord. The Bible said in Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Don't you realize, don't you see today how quickly we as a nation could be gone? It wouldn't take much. You know, I think we found out who the heroes are. They're not the ones that dribble balls and kick balls and hit balls with bats. They're certainly not people that make movies and actors and all that bunch of hypocrites. And you know, that's what the word actor means, is hypocrite in the Greek. An actor was a hypocrite, somebody that pretends to be somebody else. I'll tell you who's important, truck drivers. Praise God for truck drivers. If it wasn't for truck drivers, you wouldn't have any toilet paper at all. Praise God for people that get up and go to work every day and produce something worth having. Nurses, doctors, teachers, preachers, people that's who your heroes are. Not all the rest of this crowd. We need to fear the Lord. We need to realize that we as a nation, we could topple. We could be under. We could be gone. The King with a capital K needs to be in his rightful place. And that is not King Solomon. That's King Jesus. That's the Lord of glory. He needs to be in the proper place in our nation, in our schools, in our churches, in our families, in our homes. That is a universal prescription. That'll work with any man. An individual man, that will work with a whole nation that comes and begins to pray and call out to God. My, don't we need to get back to that. Prayer in a time of crisis, many times in our nation's history. Our presidents, have called upon the nation for a national day of prayer. You know, the very last Sunday that we were in church, the president called for a national day of prayer. I heard very little about that. We had prayer at church. That was the last time we've been there. That's been over a month ago. Other presidents during Vietnam, during World War II, Korea, World War I, President Abraham Lincoln, on and on and on we go. They've said we need to come back to God. That is where So that's what God laid on my heart for today. Lord, we come and I want to thank you for your many blessings and just making this real to my heart today. Things could be so different. And we could be as a nation so much worse off than we are. Father, help us. Turn us. We don't have the answer. We know you do. Lord, please speak to hearts. Use this for your honor and for your glory. Help all the preachers, all the churches that'll take time to try to do something today. But help us as a nation to come together in prayer and look to you and save souls and give revival. I'm glad we can ask this in Jesus' name and amen. So thank you for listening in today. I do appreciate that. Let's be much, much in prayer. And Lord willing, soon, one way or the other, we'll be back together worshiping as God's people. And so thank you so much. Have a great rest of the day. Enjoy some more preaching and singing. And let's really take this thing serious. So God bless.